service.
Tonight's the night. Or at least, it's supposed to be. The night Marco comes over to make peace. I'm still waiting on confirmation from him. To keep my mind off it, I'm getting back to my meditation. It's been a week now since I came back from Viral Villa and got punished with a never-ending grounding from my parents. I have not been on my meditation game, to put it mildly. My parents said I can only have Marco over like this if I agree to see a therapist and talk about my so-called erratic behavior. I took them up on it, more for the sake of my relationship with Marco and the production of the rest of the podcast than because I really want to sit with a shrink. The trouble is that I haven't been able to get in touch with Marco. He's still not answering my texts and DMs. At least he hasn't blocked me or posted anything else publicly calling me out. But it means I've had to ask Janelle to get him to agree to meet with me face to face. I tried meditating on the Bino interview Janelle and I dropped last week, and Bino's encouragement to just power through problems like anxiety and go for your dreams. That's what I did in going out west. At least that's how I feel. I'm proud of it. Electrified by it. It feels like what Janelle's been talking about with all her references to Brené Brown and stuff. Owning my power. Feeling myself this way gives me the strength to take punishment from my parents like a man. But it's different with Marco. My trip west and the exposure it brought us, even Marco setting his trolls on me. It's boosted our listeners and we've been able to score more unique artist interviews. Janelle and I are recording an interview with an artist from South Africa today, Nasty C, at the Booker T Audio Lab studio. The podcast is thriving. And by holding this grudge, Marco is only cutting himself out. I've got to get him back on board for his own sake. I suddenly don't feel like meditating. The text is from Marco. Finally. His ears must have been burning from all my thoughts.
Okay, I talked to Janelle. I'm going to stop by your place after school so you can explain yourself.
Great. I'll see you later. One of these days, I'm going to meditate all the way to the closing bell. But not today. I have too much on my mind. Too much to accomplish. It's going to be a long one. I leave school in a good enough mood, even though another confrontation is waiting for me when I get home. I figure I'll have a little time before Marco arrives, but as soon as I walk up the block to my house, I see that he's waiting on the stoop outside. Hey.
Hey.
Come on in. I take out my key and unlock the door. No surprise afternoon appearance by my parents this time. We have the house to ourselves. Once we're inside, Marco takes a few steps into the living room and turns to me. He opens his palms and shrugs.
So what do you have to say?
Alright, we're getting right to it. I'm sorry, I should have handled the invitation to Viral Villa differently. You agreed that if I couldn't go, you wouldn't go, and then I went anyway. It was selfish of me.
Selfish? That don't even remotely cover it. You two-timed me, man. We're best friends and you just lied to get one over. Where the hell did that come from?
It's not like I was planning and scheming it, man. I wanted to get you and Janelle on board with me to being the one to go. It was only after our call where we decided nobody would go that I couldn't help myself and take them up on it after all. I knew it was crossing the line, but you don't know what it's like with my parents. And seeing you get all these baller influencer invites all the time. I really wanted this one for me, you know? Marco takes a long pause to figure out how to respond. He paces back and forth around the room.
It's just not like you, man. It stung the most because it was so unexpected. I don't know what it's like. You think I haven't been dreaming of getting an invite like this for years? And I've been putting in the work, TikToks every day, growing my follower account. I pushed you into doing this podcast with me in the first place. I may not know what it's like to have your controlling parents, but I sure as hell know what it's like to want to reap the benefits of your own hard work. And you screwed me out of it.
Well, how mature was it to air our dirty laundry online and send your followers after me like a troll army? I was getting endless notifications about how much I suck.
Live by the sword, die by the sword. Besides, you probably loved it. Got you a bunch of fresh new follows, I bet. That's how you operate now.
Isn't that how you operate?
No. I've built my following from the ground up. I'm not thirsty for follows and shit. You're acting like a taste of internet fame has gone completely to your head, bro. You've been this way for weeks. You're acting crazy. It's not cool.
The same criticism from Janelle, from my parents, and now from Marco, piercing through. That this behavior was unlike me. That the success of Here Comes the Break is going in my head. I'm stopped short. When he called me crazy, that really hurt. Maybe it's good I had this therapist appointment tomorrow after all. Marco, there will be more opportunities to do stuff like Viral Villa. You should know that more than anyone. And you can take them. I know that my issues with my parents and being jealous of your internet fame, well, those are my issues. They're not excuses. But I did what I did and I'm done apologizing for it. Janelle and I need you back with us working the podcast. It's your creation too.
Yeah, you're damn right it is. I don't want to work with somebody I can't trust. You betrayed my trust.
Marco, come on. You can trust me. Don't be ridiculous. How long have we known each other? We can put in the work together. Don't let this little feud spin out of control like some old school beef.
Yeah, I saw that you and Janelle have been dropping episodes without me. I feel like I'm being cut out of my own podcast, even though I'm completely in the right and you're the asshole.
Marco, the point is that the podcast is bigger than any one of us individually now. But we should all be a part of it. You've got to come to Booker T and see the Audio Lab studio. Now that we're using the pod for our class project, we can record interviews with a crazy tech setup.
Great. You two really seem to have figured this thing out at your bougie school together. Sounds like you don't really need me back at all. At least until you have another panic attack and run away from the bouncer.
I'm stunned at the low blow. Maybe I deserve it. But panicky shit like when I ran off from the LA The Ghost Show are exactly why I needed to take bold moves with the villa. I'm ignoring that last part. And it's not like that. We need you back and we want you back. Don't take your ball and go home. Marco sulks around the room for another long minute. I'm starting to worry one of my parents is going to get home and ruin the moment. I think he's heard me out. And I know he must want to get back in on the podcast. Deep down, there's no way he's giving that up. He just has to say it.
I'm still mad at you.
I'm going to be on my best behavior. Swear, he's still holding out. I really must have damaged his trust in me. But I've got an ace up my sleeve. All he has to do is hear this new episode Janelle and I recorded today without him. He won't be able to leave the podcast behind when he hears it. Listen, first things first. You can give me notes on this new interview Janelle and I did today. It was a great interview. You gotta hear it. He hesitates, but I know this is my winning card.
Fine. We'll see how well this studio of yours boosts production. Cue it up.
Let's go up to my room in case my parents get home.
Just because I'm back on the podcast doesn't mean we're cool.
I know.
So who's this artist again?
Nasty C from South Africa. Janelle's been trying to schedule it for a week. It was so worth it. Listen up. In your own words, who is Nasty C?
Nasty C is just a creatively free artist from South Africa. Started rapping when I was like 9 years old. And I've pretty much just been experimenting with music up until today. I don't consider myself as an artist who's found their sound or whatever. I'm still growing and still experimenting and very open to like new sounds and stuff like that.
Wow.
And I started making music, period, when I was like 9 years old. That was my first time. The first time I ever paid attention to music at all was because of T.I. He had dropped this other remix for Top Back. And I saw it in this bus that I used to take to school. And I was just like a 9 year old in a country that doesn't really play hip hop like that. So it was my first music memory, but also just like my first time hearing hip hop like that. Like at first I started off mimicking T.I., just like rapping his words, rapping his lyrics and like changing a couple words just so it sounds like it came from me. And then I would remake Lil Wayne beats, T.I. beats, T-Pain beats, Chris Brown beats. Like I started remaking beats and I started making my own beats and writing my own lyrics. And I guess the older I grew, the more my story started to develop and feel like something I needed to put on tracks as opposed to just like mimicking somebody else. And fast forward, you have me today.
Wow, wow. And how does social media play into that story?
Social media has had a huge impact on many artists' careers, more especially my career, because I'm coming from, well, not only just a city, but a country that doesn't really embrace hip hop like that. If you were a rap and you sounded like anybody international, people would mock you. People would make you feel stupid. And then social media came around and people started to get a little more familiar with commercial hip hop and stuff like that. It became a lot more accessible and people understood it a bit more. So by default, they started understanding us a bit more, like hip hop hits.
Word, word. In one of your songs you rap, "I signed deals, but I own my soul." Can you elaborate on that?
That won't be changing. My bigger picture, my message, what I stand for, how I dress, how I look, how I present myself, what I like and what I don't like to do, none of that stuff will be changing. I know a lot of artists feel like they're compelled to adjusting and becoming what the label wants them to become, because then they'll appeal more to this market, or then they'll be radio friendly, or this and that and da da da. I know like labels change a lot of artists, and sometimes it's not even like intentionally. Sometimes they think they're helping, but they're really just leading the artists astray. You have to know every single step of your journey, otherwise you're not going to be able to retrace them and go back to point A or the drawing board whenever you need to. We all have these times where we're tested as artists and as people. I need to be able to know who I am and where I am at that time when that time happens. I need to be prepared for it. If I just let anybody change me and present me and gift wrap me and whatever they feel like I should be gift wrapped in, and that moment comes, I'm gonna be lost. And I don't want that.
That's very interesting. That's very interesting. You know, I love how your culture is so visible in your videos and fashion. Is that intentional?
Yeah, it is. And this is really something that I really started embracing about 2 years ago. Up until then, I've always just been like a modern kid, just like the rest of my generation. Yeah, a lot of them, they don't really take pride in their culture like that. I'm trying to make it cool to take pride in your culture again. I'm not gonna start wearing animal skin only just because that's how they used to do it back in the day. No, I'm doing it like how I wanna do it. I'm a hip hop head, I'm hip hop at heart. So I'm gonna mix the two and just make it cool for my generation to do that, you know what I mean? A lot of kids my age and like under right now, they don't even know their clan names. Mm. We have a thing where you have a surname and then you have clan names that they call praise names. Some people call them praise names. A lot of us don't even know that. We don't even know our clan names. So when moments like when we have to go propose, instead of just doing it the white way, where it's like you just get on one knee and then you guys are engaged and then you go have a white wedding, we have to do it the traditional way, where you take your uncles and you go to the girl's family, and before you even walk through the gate, you have to shout that girl's clan names as a sign of respect. We're lost right now. Like my generation, we don't know nothing about that. I'm just trying to make it cool again.
I guess it's like passing down traditions, you know? What's your clan name?
So my surname is Ngobo, and some of my clan names is like Fuze, Mashiyama, Tangatazo Shumaela, Nyuswa, stuff like that. They feel like ad-libs. I'm trying to make it make sense to you.
So you recently recorded a single titled "They Don't" with T.I., and all the proceeds are going to the Until Freedom and Solidarity Fund. How did that collaboration happen?
I made the song like a year ago, and that was just around the time I seen the Netflix series When They See Us. You remember that? So before I saw that series, I didn't really know much about like the racial injustice situation going on in the States. Not that much of it. Like I'd seen a couple clips every now and then, but it wasn't like in my face like that. And then after I saw that series, I started to do my own research, and just like other clips that I kept seeing just literally broke my heart. So I was like, shit. So I made the song by myself at first, actually. And it was just like coming from a sympathetic perspective. There's no aggression to it or nothing, because I haven't experienced it. It was just like, it was very sad for me to see that.
Hmm.
And then a couple months down the line, after seeing the series, but before I made the song, I was in New York shooting a video with A$AP Ferg King. And I had a mild taste of that whole situation. We were shooting in, I think we were in Harlem, on some rooftop, and I don't know what happened, but we got raided, and it was like 13 cops upstairs, like putting us in a line, making us put our IDs on the floor and shit, our hands up. I was like, what the fuck is going on right now? And this was fresh out of seeing like all these videos in this series. So I was like, I'm for sure dying right now. I'm dying to the hands of a policeman. This is crazy. But luckily nothing happened. And I just decided to make a song, man. Just get it off my chest. I was more making it to just help the mothers and the loved ones of the victims heal. And a year later, unfortunately, the circumstance and the situation was relevant again, which is crazy. And then a year later, me and T.I., I formed like somewhat of a friendship, and we have one song already in the bag, and this is not the song that's out. This is a song that's on my album. And then when this shit really got out of control and it just became like the number one topic in the world, we were just like, yo, who better to get on this song and have them put it out than T.I., somebody who publicly stands for this shit. This is what's happening in the world right now. This is what matters more than streams and music and this and that and being cool and whatnot. So I was just like, yo, man, this is my idol. This thing is the reason I picked up a pen in the first place. So it would be an honor to have him on one of my songs, and a song that actually means something, a song that's not about everything else, like that we always rap about as rappers. So we just put him on there, and he was more than happy to do it. And I was just beat to do it, and I was just, man, I was just honored.
Respect for putting out that message. That's what's up. That's what's up. And what do you want people to know who haven't been to Africa? I mean, even for Black Americans, like, I guess a message for those who haven't visited the motherland, the continent.
Damn, it's so much. There's so much. They just need to come here. They just need to come home and really experience it for themselves. Yeah, the pictures and the videos and the stories, they don't sell it enough. It's not enough. People have to actually come here and see how our values are way different from like everybody else in the world. We put culture first, we put family first, before business, before wealth and stuff like that. They really just have to come home, man. Even if it's for a week and then go back to your life, that's cool. But just come home for a second. I bet you it'll change their minds. It'll change the way they think, the way they act, the mannerisms. It'll change all of it.
Yeah, I might have to take a trip soon.
We'll be right back. And now, back to the show.
While Marco and I spend the rest of the afternoon working on the interview edit, Nasty C's words,
"You have to know every single step of your journey,"
they're bouncing around my head. Feels like I've lost that knowledge. I've made my own way out into the world and I like it, but I can't seem to retrace the steps home, get right with the people closest to me who were hurt. At least once Marco is busy working on the pie with me, he's in the right headspace and it feels like old times. When my parents get home, he excuses himself and doesn't even stay for dinner. I understand it's going to take some time, and it's going to be an awkward dinner anyway. Tomorrow is Saturday, and more to the point, my therapy appointment. I feel antsy and anxious thinking about it. I don't even exactly know why, but I don't try to meditate again at night. And even with my meds, I have some trouble sleeping. I haven't seen a therapist in a few years. I used to go to one as a kid when I was first diagnosed with an anxiety disorder. It was fine, I guess. And I get where my parents are coming from now, wanting me to go again. But it just feels like a replay of everything that happened after I blew up on Vine when I was little. And I'm dreading that. I'm afraid of being poked and prodded and diagnosed, labeled crazy or dysfunctional in some new way. The morning comes and Dad gives me a ride to the therapist's office.
So, are you ready for this appointment?
I guess. I hope this guy doesn't change up my meds too much. That messes with my moods.
I'm sure he'll be responsible about it. You haven't been acting erratic. Well, aside from this one episode. How's your anxiety doing?
A surge of frustration pulses through my veins when he describes my jailbreak to the viral villa as an erratic episode. It wasn't erratic. It wasn't a manic attack. It was purposeful. A natural outcome of the pressures I was under. But I keep a lid on my sudden bursts of anger. Just save it for the therapist. My anxiety's been okay. Mostly comes up around me, Marco, and Janelle trying to finish this podcast season while I'm under, well, you know, this grounding. My dad grimaces. Doesn't like that I'm still prodding him about the grounding. Luckily, the ride isn't too long, and after just a couple more blocks where we ride in silence, he's pulled up out front of a small office building where the therapist works. I pop the car door and have one foot on the pavement when he taps me on the shoulder.
You know, Ben, it wasn't right. And I agree with your mother that it's good for you to have someone to talk to about all of this. But just so you know, what you did, it took guts.
Thanks, Dad. The psychiatrist's office is your classic therapy office. Tastefully decorated in neutral colors. Some plants.
So you say you're here because of your parents?
Yeah, they're basically making me come as a condition of getting out of grounding.
How does that make you feel?
Frustrated. How am I supposed to get something out of therapy if it just feels like some kind of punishment? Just before I came in here, my dad said what I did took guts. And Mom sat me down last week and showed me all these photos from when she was young, showing me she was a dancer and stuff. Just as we're really starting to communicate, they want to hand all my problems off to you.
Sounds like they're doing a lot to reach out to you, actually. You ran away from home?
I didn't run away from home. I took a trip for a weekend. I left a note. And it was kind of for work.
For work?
Well, I have this successful hip-hop interview podcast, and I got an invite out to the Viral Villa, which is one of these, like, hot influencer arts collectives out west. Going could completely blow up the podcast horizons. The timing was just bad. My parents had just found out about the podcast. I'd been sneaking into the city behind their back to work on it, but, I mean, I had to take the invite.
Why?
Because I've never done anything for myself. Ever since I was little, I was the good, obedient kid. I went to therapy, took my anxiety meds, transferred to the right school. I've checked all the boxes. I was so afraid of breaking my parents' expectations that when my friends and I launched this podcast, I went under a stage name and we masked my voice. I've been a nervous wreck because of their expectations. And the podcast has been like a way into a whole new life for me. Taking this trip on my own was the first thing I've done for myself in years. I don't want to reject it as some manic episode or something. I want to own it. I want it to be me reclaiming my life. But my parents just don't see it that way. My friends don't see it that way. My stage name was Mask On, and now I just feel like I took the mask off and now everybody's mad at seeing the real me. I pause for a breath and the therapist takes a second. I came in here feeling defensive, but it feels good to let it all spill out.
How have your medications been working? Your intake paperwork said you've been having anxiety attacks.
They've been better since I took the weekend away, but I've been feeling a lot of anxiety the last couple months as I try to balance all this. This guy seems reasonable enough, but is he about to change up my meds and screw with my moods? I need stability now to get through the last stretch of this podcast production.
You've obviously had a lot on your mind. Do you know what pressured speech is?
I shake my head no.
It's a symptom of bipolar disorder, an urgent need to share your thoughts and ideas. When you speak about your podcast and your trip out west, I hear it.
Bipolar disorder? Like Kanye? Here we go. The hammer is coming down. I'm gonna be slapped with a new label.
It would be premature to label what you did a manic episode. You certainly scared your family and friends. But a lot of young folks don't exhibit bipolar episodes until their early to mid-20s. And you didn't lose your faculties. You weren't a danger to yourself or others, so let's not worry about your parents' diagnosis concerns just yet. I think we can maybe ease up on some of your heavier medication if you haven't been feeling as anxious lately. Are you willing to come see me once a week for a while?
I feel the familiar swell of anxiety at the suggestion of being roped into regular appointments like I'm under watch. But I know I need to work with this guy if I'm going to get my parents off my back. He knows it too. And taking fewer meds would be a relief. Yeah, we can try that.
Good. Let's get you on the books for next week. Now, tell me more about this podcast.
And now, an exclusive track from Nasty C.
I used to have Jack in the fridge in the bank. I'm not going back. I had bed bugs, I had roaches and rats. I'm not going back. Making this cheese cannot be this easy. It must be a catch. I'm spending and making it back. So maybe it's balancing that. I used to have Jack in the fridge in the bank. I'm not going back. I had bed bugs, I had roaches and rats. I'm not going back. Making this cheese cannot be this easy. It must be a catch. I'm spending and making it back. So maybe it's balancing that. Are you sad? You know I switch the time zone and bring that shit home. They tipping their heads. I don't want none of return from none of my bros for scratching their backs. Some people wanna be close to each his own. Go get you some racks. They going away too fast. Only God knows how they crash. Soon as I find me a window, I got it where I fit in. If I make somebody a widow, she gon' have us some millies.
More money, more problems, but fuck it, we'll take them. We used to be broke, it was shitty. Can't be on nobody in my own city. I buy like the mayor, my windows is tinted. These people ain't playing my songs out of pity. They actually genuinely fucking with me. They pay me in 10s, 20s, 100s, 50s. I'm taking it all cash, I ain't picky. Don't give me no hard pass, let me figure it out. I'm not a liability, nigga. I hustle like I got a mini me, nigga. It's tall racks till infinity.
I used to have Jack in the fridge in the bank. I'm not going back. I had bed bugs, I had roaches and rats. I'm not going back. Making this cheese cannot be this easy. There must be a catch. I'm spending and making it back, so maybe it's balancing that. I used to have Jack in the fridge in the bank. I'm not going back. I had bed bugs, I had roaches and rats. I'm not going back. Making this cheese cannot be this easy. There must be a catch. I'm spending and making it back, so maybe it's balancing that. I used to have.
Here Comes the Break is produced by Double Elvis in partnership with iHeartRadio. Executive produced by Def Jam Recordings. Executive produced by and starring Asante Black as Ruben. Produced by Daniela Perkins, who plays Janelle. Bobby Sias as Marco. Christopher V. Edwards as Dad. Rami Cornell as Mom. And Taylor Bettinson. Written by Taylor Bettinson and Nakia Hill. Artist interviews conducted by Nakia Hill. Directed by Christopher V. Edwards. Mixed and edited by Matt Tahaney. Sound recording by Colin Fleming. Music elements and production by Ryan Spraker. Additional production support by Jamie Demas. Executive produced by Jake Brennan and Brady Sadler for Double Elvis. Special thanks to Oren Rosenbaum, Shelby Shankman, Sarah Kowaney, and Jordan Gorelick at United Talent Agency, Beck Media and Marketing, Barack Muffet at Universal Music Group, Rich Isaacson, Lynn Gonzalez, Charlene Thomas, Marissa Pizarro, Gabriel Cesariero, Jessica Manorino, and Naya Fleming at Def Jam Recordings. And Connell Byrne, Carrie Lieberman, Will Pearson, Noel Brown, and the entire iHeartMedia team. To hear bonus content, meet the cast, and go behind the scenes of Here Comes the Break, follow with Double Elvis on Instagram or visit doubleelvis.com.